It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With all the news these days about extensive surveillance, phones being tapped, our phone records being kept by government agencies, it's little wonder that Bricolage Theater's stage version of 1984 is resonating with audiences in Pittsburgh. The presentation takes the form of a 1940s-style radio play based on the George Orwell novel, 1984. With its prophetic, nightmarish vision of a dystopian society where people live in fear of Big Brother, who is always watching you. The show opened to rave reviews last weekend and continues this weekend and next at the theater on Liberty Avenue in the Cultural District. Prior to Thursday's 8 p.m. performance, there will be a Foley workshop at 6:45. That's this Thursday at 6:45 in the evening before the show. That's where you can learn about how the sound effects for the show are performed. I'm joined now in studio by Bricolage's own Jeffrey Carpenter, who is directing 1984 and who has mastered the art of Foley sound effects. In fact, he's brought a few with him. Jeff Carpenter, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be here, Paul.
And at this point, in the interest of full disclosure, I will take this opportunity to mention that I am a cast member of the Bricolage production of 1984. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Again, the number, 412-246-2002. Jeff Carpenter, what do you think could the timing of this production of 1984, could it be any better at this point?
Well, I mean, certainly there are many resonances, as you described in your opening, that make this production timely. I think that, you know, in addition to the NSA and all of the sort of surveillance themes that 1984 has become known for, I think, you know, there's another aspect to this production particularly the story as I read it that had to do with privacy, that I think is something that is really brought out in our production. But I think that idea of, you know, there is nowhere you can go anymore where you have a private space, where you're not being watched, or there's not some sort of electronic media that's playing. And I think that element is something that really ties in also with just this notion of memory and the past and how sort of that societal memory of where we've come from and how it's connected to where we're headed. That is, you know, we talk about that 15 minutes, you know, that you know, these days people have such a short-term memory. With the 24-hour news cycle and sort of how all those things disappear. But, you know, there's so many great things that come out of – I see you have your script.
Right. Well, there's this part in the play where O'Brien, who is one of the characters I'm playing, is, and he's the heavy in the story of 1984, and Winston Smith, who is the protagonist, is being interrogated and tortured, and he asks them the question. There's a party slogan dealing with the control of the past. Repeat it, if you please. And Winston, who is in pain by this time, says, "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." And this speaks to the essence of the story, that they can mess with your memory. They can mess with the records. They can tell you something that happened never happened, that something that existed never existed, and you have to just go along.
And we see that. I mean, we see that in Texas, where they're rewriting the history books. And, you know, I think that there's many resonances to that effect happening. So
what was the approach that you wanted to take in terms of making 1984 work as a radio play?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, it's how do we distill the novel? And so finding the right adaptation and working with the estate, you know, and the publisher of the novel to find the right adaptation. And we landed on a really wonderful adaptation by Alan Lydiard, a Brit who really distilled a lot of the, you know, main events, but in a way that we could really tackle as part of our radio show. It's really about the soundscapes and sort of creating the environment that the piece sits in. And so that's been a lot of fun. I mean, really trying to distill these aural environments and create a tone. So music really helps in that regard. And we have a wonderful musical director, Jason Call, who's put together a trio, piano, cello, and clarinet. That's just a wonderful sort of atonal soundscape that really adds a lot to building the tension. And then in addition, obviously creating all of the different soundscapes, whether it's Winston at work and sort of the environment of the Ministry of Truth, where he sits and rewrites history. And it's just a lot of fun. I mean, that part of it is always a lot of fun for us.
And it's interesting because when the book came out, it was 1948, which is, I think, how he arrived at 1984, just, you know, 1948 backwards. Here's what it's going to be, you know, decades into the future. Here's what we're going to be living. But in 1948, radio was still the dominant medium. Television was just coming into the picture, but it wouldn't be at least another decade until television really kind of took over as the thing that, you know, the electronic media that people gravitated to. So radio, in its heyday, before television, had what we have on television today, primetime dramatic shows acted out with sound effects. So somebody realized that this is a perfect thing to turn into a radio play. So the first version of this comes out basically right after the book, and I think it was in the same calendar year that 1984, the book, came out. So clearly people realized this is something that would work on the radio early on.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, the story is so compelling, and I think it was an immediate sensation. And the fact that they seized on it so quickly to make it into a radio show. I know there's a few radio shows, at least a couple radio shows through the BBC that have been adapted. And
interestingly, the first guy cast as Winston Smith was David Niven.
David Niven, yes.
And later, an American production had Richard Widmark as Winston Smith. So you've had some very prominent actors in radio versions of 1984.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a rich history with this novel, and then also as a radio play. So it's been really fun to just delve into it. The other component that the live audience gets to really has as a little gift to them is we worked with a great projectionist on the project named Andrew Paul. He and his partner Brian came up with this great concept where the telescreens really play a role in telling the story, and so we have various telescreens set up throughout the space.
Cameras
in the
mounted
studio
in front of the actors' faces, and at various points you can cut to a shot of somebody on a live monitor. So there's this whole multimedia thing going on, which conveys the idea of people being watched, of surveillance happening in real time, which is very unique just in terms of, you know, some things are stage productions, some things are video productions, and some things are based around audio. But this incorporates all of the different elements of a dramatic presentation.
Yeah, it really does. It's kind of a hybrid of sorts, but the radio is primary, and I think that's where we definitely I think that there's something about this medium that creates such an intimacy for the listener, and the it is, in terms of engagement and audience engagement, it's collaboration with the audience member who has to use their imagination to fill in the gaps. We suggest these things with full different household items that are actually often surprising and fun to watch. But when you close your eyes, you're transported through your imagination. So it's been a lot of fun.
And Funny you should mention these sound effects, because you just happen to have a bevy of of instruments, of household items that have been turned into things that if you didn't know what they were, you'd swear it was thunder and lightning, footsteps on a path, rats, which of course are a big part of the story of 1984. So we're going to get into some of the sound effects here. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And we're talking with Jeff Carpenter of Bricolage Theater, who is the director of their current production, the first installment of this year's Midnight Radio series. It's 1984, and we're going to demonstrate some of the sound effects for you. And if you, listening in, would like to request a sound, Jeff can possibly work it up for you from the magician that he is with all of the instruments that he has spread out on our table here in our studio, which our assistant producer Katie Blackley is photographing. So you can see some of the photos of this stuff on our website at WESA.FM a little bit later. So if you want to request a sound effect, or you want to ask Jeff a question or make a comment about 1984 and its relevance to the situation we find ourselves in currently, 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. So Jeff, we have the sound effects. I'm going to let you take it from here as far as what you'd like to demonstrate for us.
Well, I mean, this is all a precursor to a workshop that's happening. Every year we get to put together a sensory workshop for which is wonderful for students or anybody interested in the medium and sort of how it's created. And Foley is still, of course, alive and well today. Foley, obviously being named after Jack Foley, who was the sort of pioneer in all of this, who back in the early 1900s, when the radio heyday was just shifting into film and the talkies came out, he was really integral in sort of revolutionizing the sound industry, because he worked in a hardware store. So a lot of the stuff that, you know, the first Foley props were made from stuff that you would find in a hardware store. So a good example of that is our friends over at the Toonzeum, as a gift, gave us, they had access to some of the QED, Mr. Rogers neighborhood stuff, and they found an old wind machine from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood that was MacGyvered together, for sure, from an old cable scroll. It's a metal
drum,
basically, which they've outfitted with wooden fins. And then you take a piece of silk and you lay it over those fins.
Okay, we're going to move that microphone over.
And there's a crank. There we go. This should pick it up. So,
all right.
And then when you turn the crank.
Boy, I didn't realize it was so windy out today.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. I got to hang on to something here. I'm about to be blown over.
And depending on how fast you move.
And Jeff is cranking this as we speak. And if he slows it down, a little bit of wind. Give me a gale force wind here. Oh, my goodness. Look out. There she blows.
So, and we have different versions of this live in the studio that can create more of a layered sound of wind. But then when you add to that, you start to, start the wind. And then at a certain point, it starts to rain. And you may hear thunder, which... rumbling in the background. Oh, it looks like we have a storm out here, Paul. Wish I wore my windbreaker.
I think we should turn back. I don't like the look of that sky out there.
So, yeah. As we say in the studio, we always know what the weather's going to be.
Now, what are you making the rain sound with?
Now, the rain is made... this is a prototype of a rain machine that's a little more portable, so I was able to bring it here today. But basically, it is a wheel made out of wood that has a It's basically a wheel that contains rice inside, and so when you spin the wheel, it creates the sound of rain. And the harder you spin it, the harder it rains, and so on.
And I'm holding a thing that's creating thunder that you've instructed me, you know, how to make it the sound with, but I don't know what I'm actually doing here. You have to tell me.
Well, that's what we affectionately refer to as the thunder tube, and that creates all kinds of different things. There's a spring attached to what looks like a regular tube, and it's almost like a hollow drum. And then the spring actually causes all of the resonance that comes up and sort of is amplified by the tube. Yeah. So it's ingenious in some way.
Folks will get to learn about this at the Foley Workshop on Thursday at 6:45 prior to the performance of 1984 at the Bricolage Theater, which is at 937 Liberty Avenue. We have our first sound effects. Oh, we got some. Thanksgiving is pretty close to, we're about 3 weeks from Thursday's Thanksgiving. We've got turkeys in the studio already.
Well, we're going to have a feast with all these turkeys.
What are you doing that with?
This is a little box.
It's just a wooden box.
It's a wooden box with various dowels that are attached with springs, and the box actually resonates these springs that create the actual friction that sound like turkeys. We have different birds. There's a goose call.
Where am I? I feel like we're on the North Shore right now.
Yeah, watch out. You got to watch your...
hang on a second, Jeff. Yeah. We have our first sound effects request from Owen in Johnstown. So, Owen, good to hear from somebody in Johnstown today. You're on with Jeff Carpenter of Bricolage.
Hi, Jeff. Hey. I wanted to ask if you could, and maybe explain how you would make an automotive sound, possibly like a motorcycle running or like an engine backfiring.
What do you have? Can you
do
that?
Well, I have something that I use for sort of a passing car, which I have to pull out the suitcase for. Owen.
Okay. But he's opening up a big suitcase, Owen. Who knows what's in there?
There's a couple different ways. Automotive sounds are really difficult, actually. What we do is a lot of times we use an old box fan, which we've removed some of the blades from, and we put on the bottom of the blades, we put additional sort of cardboard strips. So when you turn, depending on how fast the fan is going, it becomes the motor of a... It almost like an older Model T sounding car. And then there are mini bikes that I have something that I can create a mini bike sound with, which is like. Which basically is an old duck call that we found. There's other. Depending on how hard you blow and what the specific call for in the scene, you can create different sounds.
Right, but of course, before the automobile was invented, we had trains, and there could be a train coming through here at any moment. Pittsburgh has railroad tracks that are catacombed all throughout the city.
All aboard!
Oh, this is a steam engine. Oh, hurry up. We gotta run and catch that train. Hurry. There's an open box car. We can jump in there. Oh, thank God it's slowing down. All right, now tell our listeners what you just did all that with.
Well, so the main thing that you have to have is a metal surface. Right now I have a crash box, which is made from an old Pittsburgh popcorn company. We'll give them a plug. Popcorn box, which we fill with all kinds of different things. You know, that closet that you haven't cleaned out. If you open the door and
oh, oh, That sounds like Jack Benny's closet.
So I use an old broom brush that just slides along that metal surface. And then we have various train whistles. And then the steam is compressed air that, you know, you use for removing dust and lint from your computer and stuff.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of different stuff.
And it was actually Fibber McGee's closet. Our producer, I think that would be Marcus Charleston, remembering that it was Fibber McGee, not Jack Benny. So we're running short on time. One of the key sound effects from 1984 is, of course, has to do with the key part of the story is the rats, which Winston Smith is deathly afraid of. And you create that sound with a coat hanger. Go ahead and give us some rat sound effects.
So this is an old coat hanger that we found that actually has the perfect...
Rats! No, anything but rats. So he's just twisting the top of the coat hanger, and we're getting that sound. We're down to a little over a minute here.
Yeah, so Jeff, this is used in combination with some other... layers to create the ending torture.
Right. There's a lot more going on. You'll have to go to the show to see exactly what. So, when you leave, just we'll have you walking away. We've got boots and some little gravel that creates the sound of footsteps. So, again, it's 1984. It continues at Bricolage Theater this weekend and next with performances through Saturday night, November 14th. Director Jeffrey Carpenter has been my guest. As he walks away, I'll say, Jeff, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Paul.
And again, before Thursday's performance, which gets underway at 8 o'clock, we will have a Foley workshop. It's at 6:45 is when it gets underway. You're all welcome to attend if you're interested. It's free and open to the public. And again, that's at the Bricolage Studios, Bricolage Theater at 937 Liberty Avenue. Thanks again to my guest, Jeff Carpenter, who is the director of 1984. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer saying thanks for listening and be sure to vote on this election day.